Welcome to Tardi Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu, chapter 44. This parak begins where the last parak left off. Yochanan and Azariah are highly disrespectful to Yirmiyahu and accuse him of lying. They say that Hashem did not disapprove of their going to Mitzrayim. They accuse Baruch ben Neriah of tricking Yirmiyahu because he wants to hand them over to Nebuchadnezzar and remain in Israel for his own ulterior motives. Yochanan packs up the people and schleps Yirmiyahu and Baruch ben Neriah down to Mitzrayim with him. Yirmiyahu then does a symbolic act to ensure the fulfillment of the nevuah about the destruction of the Jews in Mitzrayim. The parak begins with a very harsh nevuah to all the Jews who had fully settled into Mitzrayim and into its cultures in the various cities, in Migdol, in Tachpenes, in Nofen, in Pasros. These four cities were far away from each other. One was near the shore, the other was in Upper Egypt. Yirmiyahu traveled from place to place sharing this message. Only a few would survive, and Nebuchadnezzar would even invade the lands of Egypt. The nevuah begins by reminding them about the punishment of Yerushalayim and the cities of Yehuda. Atem re'isem es kol hara asher hevesi. You have seen all the bad that was done to Yerushalayim and to the cities of Yehuda. No one is living there anymore. Hashem then explains why Yerushalayim was so punished. They did evil, verse 3, lahachiseni, to make me angry, laleches lekater la'avod la'eluhim achirim, in that they went to offer to serve other gods. These gods were the flavor of the month. They may not have known them for a long time, but they or their ancestors started to serve them whenever it became popular. Hashem did not punish them immediately. Rather, verse 4, Va'eshlach alechem eskol avadai hanaviyim hashkem v'shaloach. I sent you all of my servants, the prophets, who were acting as my messengers, sending them early and often. Hashem was proactive and sent to Nevi'im who warned the people not to do that which Hashem hates. He tried to get them to change. Verse 5. But the people did not want to change. V'lo shamu v'lo hitu es aznam l'shuv me'ra'asam. They didn't listen and they didn't do tshuva. From their evil, they kept serving idols. The result was a violent end. Verse 6. V'titach hamasi v'api v'tivar ba'ari Yehuda v'chutzos Yerushalayim. My anger and my fury was poured forth and was kindled in the cities of Yehuda and in the streets of Yerushalayim. The result was that Yerushalayim and Yehuda were abandoned and desolate. Hashem poured out his wrath only on the sticks and stones of Yerushalayim, not on the people. Yirmiyahu is now talking to the people living in Egypt, and some of the options that were available in the destruction of Yerushalayim are not available anymore, so there's going to be more destruction directed toward the people. Hashem asks them, why are they choosing to do the same evil things as Yerushalayim and Yehuda? Here, Hashem will punish the people. Lama atem osim ra'a gdola el nafshosechem la'achris lachem ish ve'isha olel v'yoneik mitoch Yehuda levilti hosir lachem she'eris. Why do you do this great evil against your own souls to cut off from you man and woman, infant and nursing baby, out of the midst of Yehuda, to leave you with none remaining? They are doing the same thing that got Yehuda into this situation. They are serving other gods in Egypt. Hashem took them out of Egypt so many years ago to serve him, and now they are going back to Mitzrayim and falling right back into the same behaviors. The result is that they are going to be a curse for all the other nations, and they will be destroyed. Yirmiyahu asks the people to reflect on what five groups did before to bring the punishments. He asks them, how have you forgotten, verse 9, Ra'os avoseichem, the evil of your fathers, what they did, Vez Ra'os Malchei Yehuda, the evil of the kings of Yehuda who led the people astray, Vez Ra'os Nashav, and the evil of the wives of the king who served idols, Vez Ra'os Sechem, and your evil, Vez Ra'os Nishechem, and the evil of your wives. Yirmiyahu highlights the wives separately from the husbands because there's going to be a confrontation with the women at this time. These groups never were humbled, nor did they follow the Torah or the laws that Hashem set before them. They stayed haughty, so the punishment never impacted them enough for them to change. We have said before that the character trait of self-confidence helps a Jew persevere in the face of troubles. That same character trait is problematic if they are never humbled or shamed by their own actions and have no motivation to change. Therefore, because they have sinned and have not reflected on what got them to Mitzrayim in the first place, there will be a consequence. Verse 11, Lachem, Hinni sam panai bachem. Behold, I will set my face against you, lira'a, for evil. Ulahachris is called Yehuda, to cut off all of Yehuda. Hashem is directing his attention to the people to ensure that they all get punished. This is not a general punishment. This is a directed punishment against people. Hashem will make sure that, verse 12, that the She'eris of Yehuda, the remnants of the Yehuda in the land of Mitzrayim that Hashem is paying attention to, they will all be decimated, whether Yipolu b'cherev b'ra'av yitamu, whether they will be consumed by the sword or by the famine, everybody is going to be punished. No one will survive, verse 14, V'lo yiyeh palit v'sarid l'she'eris Yehuda. There will be neither a fugitive nor a survivor to the remnant of Yehuda. This applies to anyone in the land of Egypt, whether that person came there to escape from Yehuda, or if they had actually come beforehand to settle there. The Das Sofim says that this group that came to Mitzrayim had high hopes for themselves. Habaim lagorsham be'eretz Mitzrayim v'lashuv eretz Yehuda, who came to live temporarily in the lands of Egypt, but to return to the lands of Yehuda. These people saw themselves as the children of Yaakov, who also came to Egypt, Lagor, to live temporarily and to escape the famine, and they were planning to return. But these individuals would not be worthy to return. Hema minasim es nafsham lashuv l'shevet sham. They mislead themselves that they're going to return there. Ki lo yashuvu ki im pleitim. There's nobody who's going to return except for a few fugitives. A specific group answers back to Yirmiyahu. They are, verse 15, Kol ha'anashim hayodim ki mekatros nasheihem le'elohim acherim. All those who knew their wives were worshipping other gods, v'chol ha'anashim ha'omdos, and all the women standing there. The Malbim tells us that all the women were serving other gods, but only a few did it with their husband's knowledge. The general policy of modesty had fallen by the wayside. The Pesukim emphasize that the women are serving the idols to make it clear that it is their influence. They wanted a more comfortable lifestyle, and so they began to serve a god called Mamlechas HaShemayim, the Queen of the Heaven. They say, verse 16, Hadavar asher dibarta eleinu b'shem Hashem, einenu shomim elecha. The word that you spoke in the name of Hashem, we will not listen to you. Instead, Asona says, kol davar asher yatza mipinu, we will do everything that comes out of our mouth. We will worship the heavens and pour libations to them, just like we and our fathers and our relatives and our princes did in Yehuda and Yerushalayim. V'nispa lachem v'nia tovim v'ra'a lo ra'inu. Back then, when everyone served idols, we had plenty of food. We were good and saw no evil. The women and the few men insist that the bad did not come because they worshipped idols, but because they stopped. Everything went downhill from when everyone started to listen to Hashem because they lost the protection of the constellations. During Menashe's time, things seemed to be fine. The Ma'am Lois points out that the women's proof that everything was fine was that they had lots of food. They were most concerned about their physical pleasures. If they could indulge, life was good. If they couldn't, life was bad. This was a core corruption of true Jewish values. Food and all that we have are only there to help in our service of Hashem. The women ask Yirmiyahu if he thinks they all did this service to the idols. Hamil b'ade anashenu? Do you think we did this without our husbands knowing? We did this as a family. Yirmiyahu responds to all the people in verse 20. Al ha'gvarim v'al ha'nashim v'al kol ha'am. To the men who knew their wives were serving avodah zarah, and to the women, and even to all the people that had given him that answer. Verse 21. Halo es hakiter asher katartem ba'arei Yehuda v'chutos Yerushalayim. The offerings that you offered in the cities of Yehuda and the streets of Yerushalayim. Atem v'avoseichem, malchichem v'sareichem v'am aretz. You and your fathers and your kings and your princes and the princes of the land. Osam zachar Hashem v'ta'ale alibo. Did not Hashem remember them and it came into his mind? You say that everything was great, but really what they did caused the later punishments. Hashem may not have punished you right away, but he did not forget about it. Eventually, what these people did caught up with them, and until the point that there was no other option but to punish them. Verse 22, V'lo yuchal Hashem od laseis mipnei roa ma'alechem mipnei hatoevos asher asisem. Hashem could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which you have committed. This is what caused all the punishments. the land was destroyed because, verse 23, b'mnei asher katartem, because you served, v'asher chatasem la'Hashem, because you sinned against Hashem, v'lo shematim b'kol Hashem, and you did not listen to the voice of Hashem, b'soroso uv'gosav uv'edosav lo halachim. You didn't walk in his law, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies. Yirmiyahu addresses, in verse 24, kol ha'am v'al kol ha'nashim, all the people and all the women. Until now, he has been giving them musar, rebuking them. Now he will give them an actual nevuah. The verbs in the pasuk are feminine, as the primary actors in these sins were the women, but the men participated as well. Verse 25, Atem unashechem, you and your wives, but to deber na b'fichem, have spoken with your mouths, which is using a more feminine verb, ubidechem leisem lemor, and with your hands you have fulfilled it, saying, they have made a vow to offer to the Malachas HaShemayim, to the Queen of Heaven, to offer libations, and you will fulfill these vows. The men and the women both made the vow. The women initiated it, which is why there was a feminine verb, but they both were planning to fulfill it. Hashem promises to all of Yehuda living in Egypt, Hinei nishbati b'shmi hagadol, amar Hashem. Behold, I am swearing in my great name, says Hashem. And he goes on that if anybody will ever swear again, a man in Yehuda has the name of Hashem in their mouth. This is a decree that is made together with a shvua, with an oath. A decree with an oath cannot be broken, even though it is a negative prophecy. Since the people won't listen to what the Navi says in the name of Hashem, the people will not be able to use the name of Hashem again. Hashem will ensure that these people will have only bad and not good, and they will all be consumed. There will be a few that escape, and they will go to the land of Yehuda. There will be a few in number, and they will spread the message of what has happened. These few will be, according to the Radak, Yirmiyahu, Baruch ben Neriya, and a few other tzaddikim. Hashem says that he is sending a sign that this is actually going to happen. Whereas in the time of Yirmiyahu, Egypt was ruled by a person called Paro Necho. In this time, the ruler of Egypt was Paro Chafra. And Hashem says in verse 30, Hineni nosein es Paro Chafra melech Mitzrayim biyad oivav. Behold, I will give this Paro, the king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies, ubiyad mevakshei nafsho, in the hand of those that seek his life. Kasher nesati es Tzidkiyahu melech Yehuda. Just like I gave Tzidkiyahu, the king of Yehuda, into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel. And he was his enemy, and he sought his life. Until now, Nebuchadnezzar has battled Egypt outside of the land, in Carchemish and in other regions that Egypt controlled. They were a battle of superpowers, so they didn't actually battle in their home countries. Now Nebuchadnezzar is going to fight Paro in Egypt. He will put a siege and wipe them out, just like he did to Yerushalayim. This is the end of Sefer Yirmiyahu for all intents and purposes. The next parak, Perek Mem Hei, chapter 45, is a nevuah to Baruch ben Neriya. The prakim that follow until the end of the Sefer are nevuos from over the years to different nations. According to Chazal, when Nebuchadnezzar captured Egypt, he took Yirmiyahu and Baruch ben Neriya back to Babel, where he died. He no longer got nevuah after this perek. In this perek, Yirmiyahu gets a nevuah about those who are living in Egypt, that they will be completely killed with a special attention from Hashem. Nebuchadnezzar will invade Egypt, cause damage, and then leave. One lesson we can learn from this perek is by noticing who Yirmiyahu was addressing and their main complaints. The community in Egypt was being led to sin by the women. They had embraced the values of serving the heavens. The women did not want to believe that they needed to listen to Hashem. Sacrificing to idols meant that they had to give up on a few things, but in exchange, it opened up a life of pleasure for them, and that was their goal. It's hard to relate to this. We do not serve idols and are not corrupting our families. What can we learn from this episode? I think one theme we see from the women is that a strong priority for them was trying to be content, happy, and comfortable. However, most times, the best things in life come from hard work and some discomfort. When the women stopped working, they replaced it with working to be comfortable. They became slaves to a different master. There is no avodah zarah in our day, but there is still a wish to relax and enjoy everything in the world with comfort and luxury. By remembering the value of hard work and sacrifice, we won't fall prey to the same masters as the women in Egypt did. Thank you for studying together, Eloi Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas Alexander Sender.